Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We're live.
We're live.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back.
Woo!
Yay! Hey. You missed us.
Everyone missed us.
I missed us.
I did too.
We missed you.
Yeah, I miss chatting. I miss being in your earbuds.
Yeah.
Being your friend in your head, as someone wrote on our Facebook while we were away. They're like, you're my friend in your head. And you know what? I like that because that's exactly how I think about everyone on my podcast that I listen to.
Yeah. And like, if there's anything I've ever wanted to be, it's like people's friend in their head.
Yeah.
That's like a goal of mine.
It's like you're one of the emotions and Inside Out.
Yes. You want to be like... The bae one. Is bae an emotion?
Yes, bae is an emotion now. Oh, it's a state of mind.
Yeah. We are your state of mind now. We're back. Your state of mind has returned.
Black Girls Laughing is here again. Woo! Hey, hey, hey.
Hi, guys.
So it's Brittany.
And it's B.
Here for another awesome episode.
Yes.
So, what's been up with you since you've been away?
So, as you guys know, I was gone. I was actually in a show for the Philadelphia Fringe. So, I was on stage, as I've talked about many times. My first love is theater. So, I got to perform again, which is something that I've only done twice since I've lived in Philly. And I've been here for 3 years. So, that's sad to think about. But... it was busy, it was exhausting, and it was wonderful. And then I've been really active exercise-wise. You guys know that we talk about that a lot, fitness, getting it together mentally, physically. So I've done 2 10Ks since I've been gone.
Whoa.
I'm doing an 8K next week and a 5K in November. And... I've lost 30 pounds since the new year started, and I'm just feeling like extra cute. And I'm dating again, which I just told Brittany about. So life has been busy, but I've been trying to focus on my 3 things, which is my job, Black Girls Laughing, and fitness. So that's where I'm at.
Dope.
What about you?
Well, y'all remembered I injured myself.
Yes.
Being America's next ninja warrior, you know, jumping on walls, falling off walls, and tearing ACLs. So that's been a huge part of my life. It's been the road to recovery. And I'm going to do a little, my portion of the show today will be about just some tips from another human being, not a doctor, not from, you know, some like sports dude, because like there's lots of advice out there about having like a torn ACL or like hurting yourself and like dealing with injuries from like hardcore sports people. And like, yeah, I'm an athlete. That's something I've been able to learn to say, like to accept about myself. With having this injury, it's like made me get a new understanding of who I am physically, and accept that I am an athlete. And you have to be good to yourself when you hurt yourself. And injury is part of the game. So yeah, it's just been tough, but also really rewarding at the same time. And I'm excited to share some of my insights.
Yeah. Ooh. So for our show today, we've got a great lineup.
We do have a great lineup.
We're coming back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
So we've got the John, as always.
You know it.
We've got Brittany's segment.
Yes. Vital information for your everyday life.
Yes.
That's stealing that from all that.
I've got a check it, which you'll notice is a little different and will continue to be a little different, but it's a good one. It's a really good one. You'll like it.
I'm excited. I don't even know. I'm about to be surprised, y'all.
We've got a throwback jam.
Oh, yeah. It's about to get real early 2000s.
And, of course, the signature giggle, cackle, roar. I forgot that you do that sometimes.
I like to laugh. That's why we're black girls laughing.
You don't ever laugh like that.
No, I don't. Not a witch. Just a bitch.
As the great prophet Nicki Minaj says, I give zero fucks and I've got zero chill in me.
Oh my gosh. That's what, like, giving zero fucks has been my motto.
Your post, we'll have to talk about her posts. She did this amazing post about, like, return on investment and giving fucks. And it was, like, this business model that was brilliant on giving fucks.
It's beautiful.
It was so good.
I'll probably do a whole segment on that. That's next week.
I want you to know, as your friend, I took a screenshot of that because I loved it so much.
Oh, man, that makes me feel good.
I was like, yes, it's the prophet. Brittany has spoken.
I'm trying to throw out more words of wisdom like that.
Yes.
All right, let's get into this John.
The John.
What are we starting off with?
Should we start with the bad or the good?
What's the bad?
So the bad is RBG. So I guess we're going to start with that then.
All right.
So this week, and don't put all your trust in white women, Ruth Bader Ginsburg screwed up. So if you were reading things as one should, the Republican Party is clearly melting down, which, surprise, surprise, no one's surprised about. And everyone's favorite, fave, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, had an interview with Katie Couric, and they were talking about her book coming out, My Own Words. And then they brought up what has now become a national movement of protesting the national anthem. And RBG gave her opinions about it, which included dumb and disrespectful. And
what?
Yeah, and anyone
RBG?
And anyone following Colin's lead is really dumb. She wouldn't arrest anyone for doing it, but she thinks it's dumb and disrespectful, and she would have the same answer if you asked her about the flag burning. She thinks it's a terrible thing to do, and she would point out how ridiculous it seems to her to do such an act. And then Couric asked her if she believes that Colin and anyone else has the right to protest. And she agreed in the most backhanded way you could, by saying if they want to be stupid, there's no law that should be preventative. If they want to be arrogant, there's no law that prevents them from that. What I would do is strongly take issue with the point of view that they are expressing when they do that. Again, as I said this week, and why you shouldn't put all your faith in white women, it's great that you're a feminist if your feminism is missing black people, people of color, trans, non-gender binary, non-gender identity, sexually fluid. Literally, if your feminism is not intersectional, it's white feminism, and I'm not here for it. And I think that people are going to brush this under the rug or say, like, oh, it's okay because it's RBG. And as I look at it, she's someone whose opinion that I've not only agreed with, and her facts are, like, valuable to, like, the struggle of women, but to, like, hear that response is, like, erasure of, like, people of color. So then it's an erasure of you and I. So then, like, I'm not here for it and I'm not going to be okay with it and, like, slide it under the rug just because she is who she is. If anything, I hold her to a higher standard because she has said brilliant things and things that I've agreed with and things that have been important to me and to all of us in this day and age. So it's really sucky to read that.
Yeah. I mean, it shows her age in many regards. Her lack of understanding of racial politics, which you think if people understand what, like, the rights of women, that they would understand the rights of people of color.
You think, but...
But it's not. It's not. It's definitely not the truth. Like, reality. That's for sure. But wow.
Yeah. So that's the crappy John of this week of, like, white feminism still, as if that was the, like, only what example.
A Taylor Swift response. Like, what?
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. And then also in the same vein, I'm like, I mean, am I supposed to be surprised? Yeah. Is this what surprised looks like?
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not. So that was the bad, not the bad, just the, like, crappy John. Moving on to good stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Let's talk about this black ass television that we all get to watch.
Yes.
Like. I got my life over the weekend, over the past 2 weeks, and I watched all of Luke Cage.
I haven't watched it yet.
All 13 episodes, just like, bam, bam. Like, all right, I'll give myself a break. Bam, bam, bam. I'll give myself a little break. Oh my gosh, I've never been more excited for Marvel anything. I'm sort of like... I'm a little bit of a nerd. I don't think I'm like a super duper nerd. I do go see most Marvel movies in like the first couple of weeks that they're out, except for like, I haven't seen like a bunch of Thors or all of the Captain Americas until they became Avenger movies. But like, I care about the big stuff, you know? And I hated Jessica Jones.
I haven't watched that yet either because of responses like that.
Well, I did not like Jessica Jones because of, like, the erasure of black women in it. That it was like, there was this white woman that is a superhero that's getting so much help from black men. And she uses black men's perception in society to get what she wants too many times without commenting on the fact that she was doing that without any repercussions of that. So they, like, it has none of the commentary. Even though Luke Cage is a prominent character in it who is used in that way, it just, like, bothered me so much. And then Luke Cage comes around, it's like, this is the blackest show ever. Every character is black. I mean, there's like two white characters in it. Two white characters in it, like, that are like minor characters. And it is very much rooted in the black experience. There's so much like black slang in it that, like, literally I had to explain shit to Jordan.
Yes.
Like, they just, like, drama, like, in the cut, like, without any explanation.
You just better know. You better know.
And if you saw some of this Twitter outrage, which I think is just getting blown out of proportion, I feel like it hasn't been that much of, like, white people being upset with the show not being centered around right characters. But there were a few, enough for a BuzzFeed article about it. But I feel like that is... And then, like, some of the criticism from white critics has been pretty mediocre without acknowledging, like, just, like, there are some flaws with the show. Like, I will, it's not a perfect show by no means, but, like, it's also a huge feat and a huge step forward. And imagine if we had more work like this, where it would be.
I mean, like, can you even take my, like, I'm going to go home and watch it now because I should have already watched it, but I don't watch a lot of TV, so I'm always late to the game. But, like, here's a prime example that we always talk about is, like, the people that are in the room that are doing the critiques, like, they don't get it.
They don't have any
context. They don't know what in the cut means.
Yeah. So, like,
how can you write anything? Who let you have a pen and paper or a laptop?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done a lot of investigating. I haven't seen a lot of Black commentary on it besides just Black people enjoying it as they are watching it. And I feel like everyone's just sort of like taking it all in. And I think Black people see it in a better light, and we're going to definitely put that, like, that glaze of this is awesome Black shit that I'm really gonna like go, like, you know, I'm ride or die on this right now because
what? This doesn't happen.
This Black superhero that's like even like super Black, like Harlem, my Harlem man is like superhero. Like this show that's based in Harlem, all of the villains are Black and they are like exactly what you would expect from like Black politicians that would be against a superhero. And like it shows that that like connection between politics and crime. Like, oh, it's just too good. The like Cottonmouth and Black Mariah, Black Mariah is played by Alfre Woodford, like, and she kills it. It's weird because, like, again, I'm so used to rooting for Black women in shows, and especially Alfre Woodard. Like, I expect to root for her, even if she's going to be a little crooked. And, like, she's got, like, a Annalise Keating-ness about her where, like, you know, like, where you, like, want to root for the bad, the lady that's, like,
yeah,
that's, like, working the system and knows how to work like the white establishment in the right ways. And then I also am excited about people that are like finding their own as like a bad guy or like someone that's like finding their own, like when people are like figuring out how to break bad, I'm always very interested in that.
Rooting for Ursula.
Yeah. I mean Ursula's my number one. Disney and Ursula, that's my girl.
Yeah. Rooting for Ursula.
She doesn't like, because again, she's like at the same time, like even though she's a criminal, she's going against patriarchy in a good way too. I'm very sympathetic to matriarch ran crime families, which I think there should be more stories of that, or like there's just stories that we don't get to know about. But those definitely exist.
I was going to say, those are like the reality of the world from the beginning. It's like Macbeth. Macbeth.
Exactly.
It starts with, like, Shakespeare
I mean, it just starts with women being the root of any home. And then if this home has a business of crime, you think the woman's not going to be a part of it?
If not running the whole
exactly
thing. Even if she's not running the whole thing, manipulating, quote, she's running,
letting people know how it should be done. Like those backroom conversations are like the best things. Like when a man comes and talks to his woman or his mama and he's like explaining what's going on and she gives that advice, that is good shit. That's where some good drama like lives. So anyway, Bulletproof Black man. I mean, how can you not be ready for a bulletproof Black man that wears a damn hoodie? And people, like, you just, like, in this world, with everything that's happened in the past 3 years, you want this
to be reality.
You need this. Yes, you want to sit there and dream that this was like, oh, this is based on a true story, right? No, fuck. But you really want it to be.
For a moment. For a moment.
So like, there's some issues with the show. It's a little weird. Like, I don't like the like one of the villains, Diamondback. He's corny. But it's still just really freaking good. Watch it, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about it, like, together.
I will try and get my TV game together.
But other Black TV, Issa Rae, Insecure, came out last week, yesterday, October 9th was the premiere, but, like, the episode's been around, like, was out for a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's amazing.
Like, I had one of my coworkers come up to me, and they're like, yo, are you gonna watch that show? And I was like, what show? And they're like, I feel like you would watch her on, like, YouTube. Like, this girl made me think of you, and I saw the commercial. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, she's kind of weird. She wears dark lipstick. I'm like, did these things make you think of me? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, awkward Black girl? I was like, are you thinking of, like, Issa Rae? And he was like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, that makes you think of me?
It's like, pause.
No. And at first, I think, like, usually it would be like, I'm offended. But I was like, no, yeah, I'm a little, like, weird and awkward. And Issa Rae makes it cool as hell. So, like, please think of me when you see her and see that show.
And I love Issa Rae for that so much. Because there's no Black women that get to be, like, messy in that way. Like, thankfully with Viola Davis, we have some roles that are a little bit more, like, not just Superwoman. I can be vulnerable at the same time as being, like, this super Black woman in front of everyone else at every other moment. But, like, Insecure, like, kind of flips all of that on its head. It's like, nah, we're human, and we have the same issues. We're not just the baddest bitch. Like, because that's what we've been fed.
Yeah.
Black women on television has been, you the baddest bitch, or you're precious, and that's it.
Yeah, I really like her because I always, have a strong loathing for the word quirky. Because I feel like it's always attributed to thin white women with brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
AKA the epitome of that, Zooey Deschanel.
Mm-hmm.
And
that pixie dream, whatever.
Yeah, which, like, no one wants to be a manic pixie dream girl because that's not a narrative or a character that anyone should be trying to fulfill for some male gaze or some male ideal of a woman. But then there are women that seem to fall into that category naturally, or that's what they choose to be, and if that's what they choose to be, great. But I feel like it's always only been attributed to white women.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always looked at myself as, like, that is a category that I would fall in, but I'm not thin and I'm not white, so, like, I can't be awkward, I can't be quirky. And it's been a thing that really has plagued me for, like, a really freaking long time. And recently I'm just like, yeah, I'm freaking weird, and I have always loved emo and screamo music, and I would prefer to go to a Mac DeMarco concert before I would go to a rap concert. And I look fucking great in black lipstick and Doc Martens. And I feel like these are all things that we attribute to, like, white people. And it's like, we're all just fucking people, and we can be whatever. And Issa Rae, it's so exciting in that she does that on TV, and I can't wait for everyone to see what I feel every day.
Well, it's like, how many different types of white man have been represented in the world?
Exactly.
Like, a white man can find, like, and I think Black women have to, like, sort of, like, push ourselves to say that we're, like, some character
exactly. That
is Black. Yeah. And, like, because, you know, there's seven to pick from. We're like, all right, I'm like, kind of like her, and we're like, yeah, I'm Viola Davis, or
No, I'm not.
But I'm not, like, the full, like, that's not my full me. Like, I was thinking about this a lot with the, you guys remember that, the three character meme thing that was going out? Like, pick your three characters. And, like,
so hard.
It was so hard, and I put Annalise Keating on my thing, mainly because she was a Black woman that has a similar skin complexion. And also we're dealing, like there's some shit that I definitely am similar to her with in terms of being like a chick that's in charge in times and like being about my business. And I got a white husband. I mean, I don't know. Like there's just like, there's some things that definitely match up with me and her. But like, it was, but like I had to pick white characters to like fill it out for that quirky part about me. So like I threw in, what's her nuts? Alana Glazer from, Broad City, because like that is definitely, and I picked the one picture that like really encapsulates me, like wearing a business blazer, but I have a huge stain on it. Like trying to be really put together, but not. Then, you know, shit hits the fan. And like, there's just not that. It's either you're Olivia Pope
or you're,
Precious.
Yeah. I mean, I freaking picked Raven Simone, which we all know how we feel about that. But that's the Raven. She tackled racism. She tackled like beauty standards and like fat phobia. And she had a lot of dreams and she was like a go-getter and she wanted to do fashion. I was like, that was me at one point. But then I also had to fill it out with like April from freaking Parks and Rec, because like black women never get to be the snarky, sarcastic bitch that also everyone absolutely loves. And that is me. Like as a human being, I am actually the snarky, sarcastic bitch that everyone loves. But you haven't got to see someone play black or of color, really. I think that Aubrey Plaza is like racially ambiguous, but she's still white passing. So you wouldn't know that. But you don't get to see a black woman play the one who's giving you the good ass one liners in the back of the room. That's me. Yeah. I am the one liners.
She's not, but she's never. I mean, if she's doing it, she's sassy.
Yeah. No,
and she's doing it in that and like in the in like the in the Retta way of in the same, if we're going from the same show, you know?
Yeah.
Type of way.
And that's not me.
Which, or like I have this issue where I might fall in, like I will play that role because I recognize that that role is there and I know I can play, I can put that on because Those traits and those characters are based loosely in some realities of blackness in some regard, just to the stereotypical terrible leap.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But I'm more just like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't make friends today. Like, there's no Z snap. There's no chicken neck. Like, there's straight
no Z,
face.
There's no Z snap. Well, no one Z snaps.
Well, listen, people still write Z snaps into these scripts and I'm always appalled. So
yeah, well, they need, people need to stop, people need to have more black people in the room, like Atlanta, which has an all black writing staff, which I have not seen any episodes of because I'm poor and I do not have cable. If someone wants to buy me cable so I can do a better job at this, please do that. But I'm about to buy that show, like, actually, like, today. Because I've heard too many great things. And I've seen too many great clips of, like, real shit going down in that show. Like, real understanding of, like, this one clip that I saw. I gotta explain it.
Yeah, because I have no idea.
It was, so, Donald Glover's character got arrested. I don't know why. But he's sitting in like the processing area in like of like a big jail. So like in a processing area, it's like a big room where everyone's like sort of like sitting like a big waiting room. But everyone's arrested in this waiting room. And there was this mentally ill black man that was there that was just like acting crazy and went into the bathroom and like took a cup of water from the toilet.
And like, this is a thing that he always does. And everyone's like, this is, and he's like, someone's like, oh yeah, that's Sonny. He's always here, blah, 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 blah. And like, Donald Glover's like, what? Like, why is he always here? Can we get him some help? And so he's doing his thing. And one of the white police officers comes up and like tries to say something to him. And that like, oh, it's that crazy guy. Sonny's here. And Sonny spits. Not his real name. I just decided his name was Sonny. Spits the toilet water in the white officer's face. And then this white officer beats him down. So, and it was just like, shit. We're having this funny moment. Like, haha, but it's also really screwed up. And then the reality of the response to that. And it was just like, it's touching on the mass incarceration, it's and how it is connected to mental illness, how our police systems are the number one mental health facilities in the United States in just literally 30 seconds of a video.
Damn.
That's what happens when you have an all black room writing black stories.
The crazy part is people are only going to see that as black stories, but that's literally a story of everyone.
I mean, it is everyone. But like, and it's interesting when we get to see, I think it's something that needs to be talked about is that through people of color, we actually get to see more people because whiteness is only shown as rich and affluent. It's very few and far between where we have people that are not rich. Like, I think Minnie Driver gets to play all the poor people in, like, she gets to be, like, hot poor all the time. And, like, there's not a lot of those narratives. And that's what people, like, freaking loved Magic Mike. Like, people, like, liked Magic Mike because it showed white, like middle, like lower middle class, like Florida white, like this is how they live. Like that was an aspect of it that made it like more acceptable as like an art piece than just dudes getting swinging naked. Their dicks.
I just like white. I think of like whitewash. And it just whitewashing just washes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just color, but, like real people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, think of how, like, every show that shows poor white people is, like, revolutionary.
Or, like a comedy. Like, it has to be funny.
Has to be a comedy. Yeah, it definitely has to be a comedy. There's very few. I think like The Riches that had Minnie Driver in it is like the one. It's like a show that shows like poor white people, but it is definitely in that comedy realm for sure.
And then you're like, even if you're like poor, like it goes from like being poor to like backwoods, mm-hmm. where you have like Hank Hill or like My Name Is Earl or whatever. Like, you can't just be like
Hank Hill's great.
You can't just be like regular middle class or regular poor. I feel like Hank Hill is about as close as you get to like
he's like regular, super regular.
Regular, yeah. But then like all of his friends are like backwoods as hell. And like,
yeah, they're super southern in a weird way.
Like, why poor people live not just everywhere. In the South?
Yeah, it's true.
And like, it's always placed there.
Like, where's my Rust Belt show?
Dude, Pennsylvania is so poor.
Mm-hmm.
It's so poor. It's so rural. There's so many like real life people here. You won't see any of that though.
No.
I mean,
we just have Modern Family.
No, we had the meth capital of the United States at one point in this state. So,
oh, I'm interested in when. This recent with like the real heroin epidemic and our addiction to opiates become a part of our future narrative.
Never. Never. I mean, no one ever talks about it.
We'll see. Well,
you know anyway. What they talk about? Black people doing crack. That's all anyone ever talks about. White kids smoking weed. That's it.
Yep. Okay. Let's move on.
So I'm going to do my personal introduction, and maybe Brittany will introduce her part of this conversation differently. But we were just talking about quirkiness in being a Black woman. And if there's anyone that I've loved for years, not just recently, for years of really highlighting like a different sound, a different feeling, an individuality, a quirkiness, if you will, it would be Solange Knowles. And a seat at the table is like, I want to say the peak, but I know the girl can go higher and higher and higher. So it's a peak for now until she elevates us to another level. A seat at the table has been on repeat since it dropped, like nonstop. When I wake up, that's what I play.
It's been pretty much the only thing I've been listening to. It's between that and then like some of my, what brought me to my throwback jam. So I'll explain that later on. But I'm intrigued by that reading of it. The thing that I see in it is Black high art coming to the mainstream. Ooh. Is where I see it. It's like, the stuff that I see in small galleries, in small showings, in the world that I get to know about because I'm a theater performance artist, and seeing other Black people make that work, that's that coming up into a new level. Through her music, I was very drawn to the videos that I was watching.
So beautiful.
They're so beautiful, and they're showing like, no one's like dancing or getting down in these videos. It's dance. It's modern dance. They are embodying emotions and feelings. It is high art in the styling, to the sound, to every itty bitty detail, in a way that like, I think she's even going over Beyonce in terms of like, in terms of like the intellectualism of the work that she's making, that I'm excited to let to for Solange to have this means that more Black indie artists and people that are not bound to genre, because I feel like, and in a lot of ways, genres are racialized. And if you're Black, you're automatically R&B. But like, if you're not rapping, and she is defying that, she's not even pop with it. She sits in that indie space, which is, you know, not even really a thing. But like that's what we describe things that are not pop, rap, or are racialized as R&B or racialized as white rock.
So that's why I use the word quirky, because I feel like looking at it from the perspective of a Black woman or like Black music, like you have Beyonce,
mm-hmm,
who has this very specific sound, this very specific, she falls into hip-pop is what I would call it.
Hip-hop.
Because it is a marriage of the two. Like, the beats, the production of it all is both hip-hop and pop. Very pop. Solange, much like I put her in the category of Janelle Monáe, is like, ugh, just sings praises to all those girls who grew up and they never really liked rap or hip hop because the beat didn't really sit with them, but they liked everything with an acoustic guitar and it was always a white dude and you just sucked it up because lyrically it spoke to you and you liked it. And then you have people like Solange that come out and it's like, ugh, you're exactly what I needed when I was a teenager, because this is where I have fallen into forever, and you're there and you met me there, and I feel so seen and heard, finally.
Just like, I definitely see her in that, like, Sade space.
Yes!
And, like, Sade was the music I was introduced to first. Like, my mama's music was Sade. It was Sade and R. Kelly, like, all day. And, like, and it sits there, and we haven't really had anyone, like that. And I feel like Solange fits closer to Sade. I think Janelle Monae is like that too, but then she also kind of fits more in like that like Prince area, where again Prince again gets to go very high concept, very high art. And I feel like we don't give enough Black artists that permission while also allowing them to become more mainstream. They probably exist, and I don't know all of them. And you know a few breakthrough, but like it's quite exciting that she's like she was playing like one of these huge things that was like trending on my Facebook and Twitter was that the indie station of Philadelphia's WXPN.
Yeah,
they were playing Seat at the Table
because it's magical. It's magic.
They weren't playing Lemonade. Like, no. It's just, like, it just, like, it shows that it's not like anyone, like, she didn't make it for them. And I love, and that's the thing I love about this, too.
Shit is for us.
It's, like, and that is what's the most beautiful, and, like, it kind of goes with, like, Luke Cage, our conversation about Luke Cage, that it's not making work, it's not making Black work for the white gaze. It's making Black work, and then allowing whoever wants to be a part of it, be a part of it. And it is beautiful. I'm just happy. Like, these are like the moment. These are like the little things, despite the bullshit of our political system right now, that makes you happy that you're alive right now.
Yes. When I can wake up in the morning and hear, "Don't touch my hair."
Oh my gosh.
That song, literally the album dropped and I had two different people text me and they're like, obviously you're going to listen to it. They're like, please sit down. You specifically, we thought of you. Sit down when you hear Don't Touch My Hair. And I was like, every morning now I wake up and that's the first song I listen to.
Yeah, I love that song as well. I think I love the video more for Don't Touch My Hair. It's just so, again, the movement, this, like, very much, like, it's so expressive. It's taking into this, again, this world of performance art that I understand so well, being, like, it's getting to move into that space, but now with Black bodies, like, Sia kind of brought that into, mm-hmm. with mainstream. Her, into mainstream, and, like, she's taking it to, like, the next level. I love that video. And then I also, I love Crayon in the Sky. I feel like that was the,
that's like the hit right now.
That was the one that had like the most words that I like was like, oh, I feel this. Oh, I truly understand. Like this is the first one that like really connected to me.
So weirdly enough, Weary was the one that, like, I listened to the album twice through, and obviously I love FUBU. Mm-hmm. Obviously I love every intro and outro with Master P. Holy shit.
Master P is, like, the winner of the, like, album holy in many weird crap. Ways.
Like, and, like, the way she wove him into the album for each song is, like, you don't need an introduction, but if there was an introduction, nothing fucking... And when he says, this man wanted to offer me $1 million, this white man is offering me this, I gotta be worth at least 40 or 50. I was exactly. Like, oh my... screaming.
That's
like,
one of my screaming. Biggest... That's one of my biggest ones.
It's so good. It's so good.
I got white people offering me change right? every day.
But Weary, really... Like, I try not to sit in my feelings about how I think everything is garbage, but I was like, yeah, this is it. And then at the end of Don't Touch My Hair. Yeah, it's just such a, it's so good. It's so good.
Just thank you. Thank you, Solange. And thank you for all of the triumphs on top of that. Like, for one family to just be a dynasty.
Right?
Two sisters running the world of music right now.
And then Miss Tina coming out with her. And it's okay. They don't go together. You can be proud to be Black and not... hate white culture. Like,
yeah, she's
do y'all get it yet? Do you get it yet? Just be happy you've got the whole wide world, but this shit is for us.
I can listen to the interludes and I'm like satisfied.
Right?
It's just like I'm gonna probably like sit back and probably find a few of the girls just like be my affirmations for days. Like, or like just like I'm gonna just take this and use this to power me through the day.
To me, the album could easily, and like speaking to your high art, the album could easily read as prose, where you don't need every single line to get the whole story.
Yep.
And then if you do like every other, it says a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Every other says a completely different story. And then all together is another story. And it's...
What story do you want to make today?
Yes!
And that's an album that can stay with you for
ever.
Yeah,
it doesn't age.
Yeah, I'm excited to like. This is like, I think about this album very similarly to how I think about The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill on something that's going to stay with me forever. It's going to be the thing that I listen to at the very least once a month until the day I freaking die. Or until, you know, America ends and I don't have an iPhone anymore.
What? America could end and you could
stop. And I'll still have an iPhone. You're right. I think we'll become the United States of iPhone. Like of Apple. So,
all right.
We've almost done an hour on this, so let's...
Move on.
This is vital information for your everyday life. And it's all about, hey, you might get injured, stupid. But here's some tips to make it go better. So I tore my ACL trying to be a champion. And I am a champion still, despite the fact that I hurt myself.
Yes.
And it's been tough. I had the initial injury, which was like my pre-op time of dealing with going to the doctors, trying to figure out what it was. I learned how to read an MRI.
I remember that text conversation.
YouTube is your friend. You can be an image specialist with just a few YouTube videos. And then there was the actual surgery, which blew my freaking mind. The idea, if you've never had a outpatient surgery, it's like magic because it's so fast. You go in, you sit down, you get all your vitals and everyone's talking to you. You have a surgery and you're out the door and it's like lunch just passed. And you're like, what? How did I have a full day of surgery and things?
Blew my mind.
It blew my mind. Like, you like texted me and you were like, you going in soon? And I'm like, I'm out.
Done.
Like in the car riding home. Oh my gosh. It was crazy. So here's a couple of like little tips. First thing, y'all, you have to accept that you are injured. If you get injured, the first step is acceptance. Accept that you are hurt. Accept the help. Accept sitting your ass down. These are things you have to just accept. You can't run anymore. You can't jump anymore. You're going to have to chill. And it's okay. But first, just accept it. Cry. Get the cry out. Like, I think, like, the reason why I say accept it is, like, I, for a while, was, like, trying to show everyone how I'm power throughing this, and like Bree's only seeing the bright side of this. But sometimes with the good, you have to accept the bad. You need to cry and let it out and feel the shit that you're going to feel from it. Like, it's shitty to lose, if like, especially if you have an injury where you lose your mobility, where your everyday life is altered, it affects you mentally.
Yeah.
And you have to just go through that pain and let your body and your mind accept that pain when it happens. First thing. Because if you have an injury like I had, you'll get better, and then you're going to have to hurt yourself again to get even more better.
More better.
So accept being injured. The next thing is let people know about your injury.
Yeah.
Be honest about what's going on with you. Like, it's like letting your job know, letting your friends know. I was personally really bad about letting my friends know. I think my immediate circle, people that see me every week, they learned about it really quickly. But I just went to New York this past weekend, and I had friends who were like, what the hell is wrong? Why do you have this huge cage on your leg? And it's like, oh, yeah, I had surgery. I've torn my ACL. I've been battling with this thing for like almost 3 months. Sorry? And that's shitty. Like, let the people in your life know about it, because you know what? People want to help. People want to support you. Your network cares about you. So let them know what the hell is going on with you so they can help. It will make it easier. And then my third one, research is your friend, but with limits.
Yes.
I YouTubed a lot. I read a lot of blogs, and I think it's very important. I think it helped me with a speedier recovery. I'm not even a month out, and I'm walking around without a cane, and I'm going to work every day, and my life is pretty much coming back to normal. And like that research of watching other people do it, if you have an injury, there's been at least a person or a million that have made a YouTube video documenting their experience. Go watch them. Just don't watch videos of your actual surgery. I made that mistake. Oh, you God. Don't want to see someone pull a hamstring out of someone's leg. Like, it's just not cute. Just don't do that to yourself.
That's disgusting.
So have limits to the work that you're doing, but also like find networks of people to talk to. Like, I've got on a couple of forums and I've talked about what I'm going through. So the research space is great for finding support networks, for understanding the process of what you're going to go through, to help you figure out what questions to ask your doctor. And then also know that there's other ways of getting things done with whatever injury that you have. Something I've learned about ACL surgeries. Some doctors believe that you need to have a brace on your leg for X amount of time. Others doctors don't believe in braces at all. And people have had pretty much the same outcomes either way. So I've taken it upon myself to be a little more flexy with my brace because of what I've learned from other people. So, and you are able to make more sound decisions that work for you when you're more educated about the process and the different ways of the way different ways the process can work. The fourth step and tip is to just don't be afraid to start moving, to start working that leg, to start working that arm, that shoulder, whatever it is. Because actually being too tender on that injury can actually hold you back. If you're not pushing yourself a little bit, one of the words of wisdom is just sort of like, if you're right about like a four on pain, it's actually going to help you. But if you're going to like a 5-6, now you need to like pull back. Now you might actually be hurting yourself. So really gauge that. And I think this might be true for a lot of women. We have a very high threshold for pain. So I know that I got a little paranoid that I was moving too much because I was like, this is just me not being able to see how injured I am. Because like I was misdiagnosed initially because the pain hurt like right when the pop happened. But then I was like feeling okay. And they were ready to kick me out and send me on my way. And then I moved the wrong way and the real bloody murder scream happened. They're like, oh no, you're really in pain. So figure out what your pain threshold is and how that fits so you can be able to communicate properly to your doctor. And if you're someone that's lower on, like that you can take more pain, up those numbers a little bit for people so they recognize what's really going on, because they could really set you back if you're trying to be too strong. The final big step, big tip is thank all the people that are going to help you. Like, I owe my husband a lot, and because he was the best nurse I've ever had, better than my mom has been. Thankfully, my mom never had to go through anything this big with me as a child, but he was there for everything. And as you start getting better, figure out the way that you want to thank the people that have taken time out of their life. And because it's not just you, especially if you have another person in your life that you share your life with, be it your spouse, a partner, a best friend, a roommate. I've had roommates in the past that have really helped me during illness. Really figure out a way to thank them. It doesn't have to be anything huge, but if you have to show that gratitude for the time that they've given to you in your injury and your recovery. And then here's some fun things. Make some fun recovery goals. My fun recovery goal post surgery was to watch The Sopranos. And so it was a fun thing. While I was hopped up on painkillers, just sit and watch The Sopranos and not care. It was a fun thing to this is the show I'm dedicating this long time of sitting down to. Figure out a signature snack. A thing that you are really excited to eat. My signature snack was Snickers ice cream bars.
Yes.
They're portable and delicious. And someone can bring it to you. You can eat it. And there's very little cleanup.
You got any of this? You got any of this? I'll take one.
I don't have any more. But I went through a billion of those boxes. Then you also want to, and this is one a little more serious. Pick a date where you're going to stop being injured. When are you going to make that mental shift that I am a person again? Because you're always a person. One of the best things that someone told, something that I read when going into my surgery is that once you get out of the surgery, it's not your good leg and your bad leg. It's your left leg and your right leg.
Yep.
And as soon as I was able to do things on my own, I took ownership of those things and I took those as little wins. So when I was able to take a shower and not have to have someone help me get out of the shower, I felt a part of my agency coming back, and celebrate that. Love it. And then decide when you want to really pull it all together and take it all in. And love those little wins, because you're going to get tons of little wins. If you don't celebrate them, it's going to make the recovery period even harder. It's not just being able to do whatever you were doing before again. It's celebrating every little bit. I'm going to be going through this for 6 months at the very least. And maybe 3 months from now, I'll be able to do a whole lot more and I'll seem completely fixed. But it's going, I'm going to still have to work and be ready to do that work, because it's going to be a lot of work, but love it. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you a better person. I'm excited for who I'm going to be post all of this, because I already feel like I've transformed so much in 3 months, so much in the 3 weeks that I've been out of surgery. What? An injury's a win. I think it's something that can be celebrated, and you can grow from.
But excited.
Yeah. Enjoy. So, if you find yourself hurt, think about these tips. Take these words, use them. And if you've had something that you've been battling, I would love to hear about it. Let us know. Like, we want to help. We want to talk about it. We want to be a part of it. Yeah. Help, and we want to help you. So, if you're going through any type of recovery, I want to cheer for you. If you want to cheer with me.
My tip is, if you have an injured friend, take a day, get ice cream, and hang out with them.
Yeah. It's nice.
Everybody likes that.
Everybody likes it.
Those were great tips.
Thank you.
I feel like those could transcend being injured, but specifically for being injured, those were great.
Thank you so much.
All right, so guys, I'm back with a Check It. And I talked about how Check It is going to evolve. I talk a lot about mental health, and I feel like we have this perception that everything has to be medical, and I have this perception that Check It has to be really deep and really involved in, like, mental health and, like, what endorphins and blah, 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 and XYZ and blah, blah, blah can do to help your mental health. But I think that I've decided that Check It is going to take on a more simplistic, basic level of checking it. So it could be checking yourself. It could be checking your friends. It could be checking your friends' friends. But just, like, checking something that could negatively affect your view of yourself, your view of other people, your view of small things. And as many of my friends say, and as I say now all the time, Check It is really about living your best life, and how you can wake up and look in the mirror and be happy with what you see, which is really, it's really hard. But like Brittany said, the little things. And I laughed when I said basic earlier, because this week's Check It is about embrace being basic. So it's fall. The leaves are changing. It's cooler outside. And the memes are popping up everywhere about Uggs and pumpkin spice lattes and going to pumpkin patches and Instagram pictures of leaves in the fall and blah, 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 blah. And everyone's a basic white girl. So I was just chatting at work the other day about pumpkin spice lattes, and at first I used to think, like, oh god, Ugg boots and North Face jackets and pumpkin spice lattes, like, quintessential fall look attributed mostly to white women. Have seen it on people of any color and look. Gender. Yeah. So we'll start there. So the people that get really excited about pumpkin spice lattes, they wake up, they realize it's fall, Starbucks releases that pumpkin spice lattes are back, they're excited. This little drink, this little overpriced drink, makes an entire group of people really excited. They're happy. This little overpriced drink also showcases people who are salty as hell. Which person would you rather be? The happy person, the salty person? You can also live in the middle. This is where I live. I don't like pumpkin spice lattes, personally, because Starbucks recipe is mostly nutmeg. It does not actually taste like pumpkin. I love the taste of actual pumpkin, so it's disappointing to me. Do I give a shit about people who are happy about pumpkin spice lattes? No, because you know what? They're happy-ass people. Do I give a shit about people who are bitter about pumpkin spice lattes? No. Because why the hell are you waking up mad that other people are happy? Why? Why do you give a shit? You don't have to spend your $5 on pumpkin spice lattes. You don't have to spend $100+ on UGG boots. Nobody made you go out and buy a North Face. So literally, shut up. Shut up. Think about what makes you happy. Does black coffee match your dark soul? And a good, strong cup of black coffee makes you really happy in the fall because the cup is really warm and your hands are kind of cold. So, like, the cup of black coffee, as dark as your soul, warms your hands, unlike your icy heart. Great. I am so happy for you. I'm glad that we both love black coffee. And I'm also glad that that girl on the train's feet are warm because she's fucking wearing UGG boots, and her hands are warm because she's drinking a pumpkin spice latte, and her chest is warm, and she Instagrammed her new North Face that she probably spent too much fucking money on. You're smiling, I'm smiling, we're all smiling. Embrace being basic as everyone will tell you to be, because you wake up and you're happy. The end.
Get your hands warm. Drink more caffeinated beverages. Don't go to Starbucks.
I will say, for Philadelphia people, as a self-proclaimed bougie person when it comes to coffee, which I very much am, if you're gonna go for something fall, not as high priced, you want a fall flavor, Saxby's is the way to go. That is not a plug for them. I'm not getting paid for that. I just really enjoy their coffee when I'm going for like a fall, funky, quote unquote, basic flavor.
All right. Now we know. I just drink coffee in the house.
I mean, I drink black coffee. But I do get a little, like, bougie with, like, the beans and how they're roasted and where they're roasted from and who roasted them. And but that's a story for another day.
Like, I get overwhelmed when I have to actually go to a coffee shop. I'm like, I just
want a coffee.
Well, you don't have the liquid crack today. I don't know. Sure, I'll take an Americano. I don't know.
I love the act of going to a coffee shop and buying a cup of coffee, but 9 times out of 10, I hate the person that is either taking my order or giving me my coffee, only because I feel like there's this this perception of people who are trained in coffee shops to just, like, have the shittiest attitude all the time.
They're the worst.
And, like, I've worked in food service. It's not fun. You do encounter crappy people. Do you have to be crappy to everyone?
No.
No. You don't. Anyway, that was the check it for this week. Be basic and love it.
Hashtag basic AF.
Embrace being basic. Embrace it. You're happy. We're happy. You're happy.
Okay. Real quick. Throw back jam.
I'm ready.
So when I haven't been listening to Solange, I've been listening because I got Apple Music again. I got rid of Tidal because they don't get enough new music like on time. So I was like, forget that. I'm back on the Apple Music tip. And they have some really good, like, they really know me because all of my playlists are like early 2000s hip hop and R&B,
yes.
or like goes a little bit more back. Like, I have like a New Jack Swing Part 2 is on my,
oh.
One of my playlists of the day. But the other day it was like 2000s,
urban.
Like 2000s hip hop. And I was like, yes. And it was just like too much stuff that I love, like Magic Stick and and like whoa.
Yes!
Right?
Oh my god.
But the one that got me like real turnt in my office while writing invoices was pass the Cavassier.
Oh my God.
Pass the Cavassier. Part two. Remix version.
Damn.
Featuring P. Diddy and Pharrell.
Yeah.
You know that Busta Rhymes hit. Oh my gosh. Like, that is a song to get you just bumping. Don't let me hit, make you people want to jump. Like, you're just, oh.
It makes my people want to jump.
Oh my gosh. You're just like excited. You want to act a fool. It's like Pharrell being like real Pharrell. Diddy kind of mattering.
That one time.
Like Busta being Busta. Like, it is the best.
People wanna jump.
Like, yeah. So I was very happy with Apple Music this week for putting that song back into my radar.
I can't imagine you sitting at your desk and like you not like dropping everything and your hands just like flying in the air.
I've been real ignorant in my office because I'm in that phase of like, I don't give a damn, and no one works in my office anymore, so I can put my music kind of loud. And my entire side of the office now, we play our music and we don't care because no one's really walking around or doing anything because 4 people work there now, so it's great, guys. So that's the throwback jam.
Well, if it's any consolation,
pass that Cavassier.
I feel like I'm gonna play that at work this week now and do my dance when I finish something and I finish it well, which is Millie Rock. I don't know why, but I work in a warehouse, so everyone can see me at one time, and I'll just be like, hit send, and then just like Millie Rock on every block.
Oh my gosh. But I've been like jumping out of my room because like I would like get like a really big sale, and I like put my music up loud, and I just like dance out there, and I'm just like, and no one sees me, but they're probably all like, why is this black girl playing this music so loud?
Well, if I was still there.
No one has any, no audacity to check me or say, no, miss, you can't do
that.
They're just thinking like, these Negroes are getting too bold.
My God. I have to stop now with this throwback jam.
All right.
Giggle. Cackle. Roar, I guess. So I don't think we discussed a giggle, but my giggle is us doing this again.
Yay, I like that.
That's
we
giggle.
Back, bitches.
The giggle is Black Girls Laughing is back, and you should giggle with us. Thanks, the end. Bye.
Yay.
Cackle. So I'm talking again. My cackle. As you know, or should know, Birth of a Nation came out this week. Listen, I'm not giving Nan one of my dollar bills to go see this movie in theaters. It's cool. It's great. He's been working on this movie forever. Awesome. Great. He's a black man. Cool. Great. I support black men. I support black people. Like, if I know someone is a rapist, like, not, no thanks. And really, if you feel like coming for me on that matter, I would suggest that you don't, because I did not send for you, and no one else did, that is also actively not supporting this film in theaters. When it comes out on Netflix, I'm going to say I will probably watch it. There's a good chance that I will watch it just to be like, what was it actually about? I'm curious now. I already spend $7 a month for this, so this really isn't affecting the actual amount of streaming I do with Netflix. which surprisingly isn't a lot, but still, I use my money's worth. And really, the rapist thing obviously plays a big part in it, but I read this amazing article that talked about how we have dehumanized and become so desensitized to aggression and violence against Black bodies. And for this movie to be filled with nothing but violence against Black bodies is like, what? Much like 12 Years a Slave. I watched it. It was great. It was so good. I love Lupita. There are more narratives out there than Black people being slaves. It's important because we don't learn about it in history. So I understand that. We don't learn about it in school. We don't learn the reality in school. We don't learn the reality unless we seek it out ourselves. But with how the news is and how the world is of just like you have to turn autoplay off on your Facebook to make sure you're not waking up to see a Black man gunned down in the street, I don't really feel like watching a movie where Black people are getting blown to smithereens. So tack that on to him being a racist, rapist. I'm not giving him my money. And so I'm cackling at any of you that try to come for me. Thanks.
Well, I think in the last episode, I said I'm going to be buying it from the bootleg man at Popeyes for $5 so I can see it.
So he can get money?
Yeah, so he can get my, so that bootleg man can get my $5 while I'm getting my chicken. While I'm having my meat cheat. Hashtag meat cheat. Yeah. I mean, I feel you. I had to go through so many mental, like...
Yeah.
Like, I went through a lot of, like, mental, like, trapeze work. Because I was, like, going back and forth. And I had this very long... I was on vacation when all this stuff came out. And I was on vacation with a Black man. And so we had a very long discussion when all the other white people went off to the beach about it. And it was hard. And it's still hard.
I mean, we were... How many episodes did we have where we were so
excited,
hype about this movie? Mm-hmm. And, like... It's not that hard to not be a garbage human being.
Yeah.
Is what I always say.
But what's been really great with me, something that I have come to, like, I've been working on with it as well, is that I'm coming real strong on Nate Parker, and I'm not going to see this movie or anything else that he has to make, because he's going to make many more films post this. It's also made me to think about everyone else.
Yep.
So it's like, R. Kelly, you get turned off. If you come up on my thing, like, I just can't anymore. Like, they're like, I can't, I might like to bounce, but I can't anymore. Woody Allen films, fuck them. Like, I'm like being like, if I'm going to take this hard stance here, I need to continue it. And I think that's something that everyone needs to remember. Because I feel like sometimes we forget, like, because white people, they get to continue.
Yep.
Despite this bad behavior. And maybe since we're learning more about this boys club, thank you, Donald Trump, for being the spokesman for the boys club and, like, lighting that whole bitch on fire. Because, like, maybe we'll actually come to terms with some of this shit. And then in the recent future, but you, if you're gonna say no to this movie, really reflect on a lot of the other artists that you're ready to support, and then also think about other things that you're willing to give your dollars to. But be critical of where you put your money, because there's a lot of bad out there. And I think that's a good transition into my roar, actually. Every human being in the United States of America, in this world, has to see The 13th. Ava DuVernay has made the documentary of our century, of my lifetime, of the end of America, because it shows and no, like, there's just no way to get around how this United Snakes of America has made money off of black bodies, and how they were on that black body, was our main source here, and they took it away, but they put that lovely clause in there about slavery being permissible through crime, through imprisonment, and it has turned into billions and trillions of dollars, and has been shaped and and has reshaped itself over and over and over again. And it's bleak, but it's so powerful. And I left watching it angry, excited, because this is like just for this to come out in sort of like this like a mainstream format, because I remember my dad explaining this to me when I was like a young girl, and I was just like, "You're just a crazy black man," was sort of like the thing that I had. Is like, you're just a conspiracy theorist. My dad's a conspiracy theorist in real life, but no, this is like real.
Real life.
Another beautiful thing about it is that, you know, it is about laws. It's entertaining, but it's still about nitty gritty laws and business practices. But she still finds a way to show how black music has reflected this understanding for so long. Because she puts these songs in between different segments to show, like, it, like, the song interludes become its own history of black music lesson interwoven through this narrative of brutality and loss of agency and dehumanization and systematic stripping down of a huge part of our population for dollars. It's so good. And you have to watch it. And if you have people in your life that need to know this lesson, watch it with someone. Create some dialogue, create some conversation, and then spread this to more people. Because I need everyone needs to see this. Because you know who's in it? You know who's featured in it? Hillary Clinton. And Donald Trump. And how they fit inside of this narrative.
Duh.
Of, I mean, at the end of the day, it becomes white against black and the demonization of black people and how it super predators, how crime and punishment is just black people means black people being tough on crime. We all watch the debate.
Inner city means
black.
Clearly means black.
And you can recognize like how they've changed and all that stuff, or not changed, or sticking to that narrative. You can put whatever you want, but they are featured. The Clintons are featured. Everyone needs to watch it and recognize where you live and what changes need to happen. Because sorry, that 13th Amendment needs to be changed.
Don't say sorry. I said, don't say sorry.
I mean, I'm not, yeah, I mean, I'm just a woman, and I say sorry all the time because I'm a woman.
I ain't sorry.
That shit needs to get changed, like, today.
There you go.
Because...
No, thank you.
No one can believe... No one's going to believe in your police reform, in your criminal justice reform, or any of your bullshit. Because, again, it shows that... The prison system recognizes that that business is going to be going away soon. That source of income. And so they're diversifying. They're changing what they're going to be making money on. And where they're going to be making money on? Oh, parole.
For the rest of your life.
So, I mean, they're going to figure out how to get the money. So how can we believe in any reform if it's still based in a race-based system? If you don't change the root of it, we can't trust any of your shit.
Nope.
Just see it. Get upset. And let's go out there and try to do something. Because if it doesn't make you want to go organize, it doesn't make you reevaluate. If you've had any doubt about the Black Lives Matter movement, if you've had any doubt with of any of these movements about the treatment of Black bodies, mass incarceration, and police brutality, if you had any question, I feel like those questions will be answered, and you can understand. And if you have any if you've had any issue with how the Black community has been ripped of its leaders, and you don't understand just how bad it can be because of how systematically people have been ripped from communities, watch this and learn. And then keep on learning. And another thing is a big part of it was recognizing, even as a Black person, how you are complicit in it. That's how I feel, like that if I continue to make art, which is something I definitely still wanted to do in my life, that internalized racism is something that I want to tackle in the art that I make. And there was a big chunk of that, of this movie, that's a part of that as well, that talks about that, because even we believed the lie.
Yep.
Black politicians helped some of these tough on crime bills to go through. I mean, watch it, people.
She's pressed.
And
she's
we'll stressed. Talk about it. And I want to talk about it with people. I want to talk about it with you.
All right. Well, you guys have your homework for this week.
A lot of homework.
We're
just watching things, so.
Yeah, just watching things. You can eat snacks.
Have some ice cream, because that will really help you when you want to, just don't use a spoon on your eyes, because you might want to do that.
But that's an episode.
Yay!
We're done! All right, you can find us on the interwebs at Black Girls Laughing on Twitter, at BLK Girls Laughing with no G, Twitter and Instagram. That handle.
Mm-hmm. You can go to blackgirlslaughing.com and see some more information about us.
Yeah.
You can check us out on Facebook. Woop woop. At Black, where it's / Black Girls Laughing.
Yes.
Full name.
Yeah. No change in spelling. We're on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. You can share it with your friends easily with share links via there.
Please share. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with your friends. And if you really enjoy Black Girls Laughing, please leave us a comment.
Yeah.
It takes just about 2 seconds.
And you don't know the magnitude of the impact, even 2 words of love y'all.
Yeah. You don't have to go deep. If you want to go deep, I would love to read it and cry and be really just over the moon about it. But if you just want to be them my boos.
Or I'll it's cool. lit. Or
yeah, I'll be okay with that too.
Yes. So leave us comments. Since we're back, we're back for real this time, guys. So I would suggest subscribing if you want to stay in the know of when we drop hot fire on y'all.
Mm-hmm. And some fun stuff is going to be coming up. Like, yeah. we are so committed to Black Girls Laughing.
We're committed to you. Mm-hmm. You've been committed to us. It's been like an open relationship. We've had monogamy, but also
we were dipping around.
Yeah, and we're ready to take this to another level.
I'm on bended knee.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. 'Cause I'm gonna do that again.
Yep, you are.
How do we get rid of one of them?
I don't know. Jordan, can you take a cat? can you take a cat? They keep on fucking with each other and it's been real bad.
She said, fuck you.